Wake up, America!
Wake up, America. It's time for Michael Dean After Dark. I'm your host, Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, and this is the Late Night Feisty Liberty Show. We have a rotating stable of interesting insomniac co-hosts. Plus, we leave the phone lines open. So if the hamster in your brain is keeping you up, please call in. That's right. This is Mr. Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, on Michael Dean After Dark. And you should hold your kitties tight, because whether it's cold or not, it's a full blood moon eclipse. And that sounds kind of spooky. And Nikki Darling's on here tonight. How you doing, Nikki?
I'm excellent. How are you?
I'm really good. What is a blood moon, and why does that sound so spooky? It sounds like a death clock song.
It has something to do with an eclipse, and it's for, I don't know, an hour or two, the moon is going to look dark red.
Well, I looked at the moon out the window right before we started, and it was pretty high in the sky, and it was pretty, it was totally full, and it was really bright, and it was a crisp night, but it was very white. There was no touch of red yet.
Well, you got to wait a few hours. It's probably going to be right when the show ends.
Yeah, but it'll be waning or waxing or tending toward that, I think, before the show. I think if we go look out the window at the break right before the last segment, we'll probably be able to see some blood moon.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. I don't know what that is. Are you psyched about it? Are you excited or you don't care?
I mean, I think it's pretty cool, but it's not going to affect my life in any way. But there are people who say that when the moon is full like that, it makes everybody's chi thrown off or something. I don't know.
Well, I've had a weird, strange day, and we'll talk about that more later. But yeah, you know, one of my strong early memories, I wouldn't say my earliest memories, but one of my strong early memories is when I was probably 5 or 6. We went to visit my sister in New Hampshire. Now, here's the funny thing. Like, there's people saying, you know, I'm going to Porkfest, and people are like, wow, Michael's finally coming to New Hampshire. He's never been to New Hampshire. And I'm like, I spent like 10 summers in New Hampshire from age like, 10 to, you know, well, not 10, like from like 12 to 18, I spent part of each summer in New Hampshire. And before, with my sister and her boyfriend, out in the sticks in a really beautiful location, near Hanover, near Lebanon, New Hampshire, right on the border of Vermont. And before that, she went to college in Hanover, which is, I know where Dr. Stephanie Murphy went to that college there. But and the first time I used a computer was at that college. It was 1975, and I was playing tic-tac-toe on a mainframe computer. But the really early memory I have is going to her college graduation. And while we were there, like the next day, it was a solar eclipse, you know, during the day when it gets dark and then gets light.
Yeah.
And you're not supposed to look directly at it. And they say it can permanently damage your eyes. And they, you know, adults told me not to do that. And I was like, I looked at it. Yeah.
I was just thinking,
you know, because you tell me not to do something, I'm probably going to do it. And I was like, I'm going to go blind. And I did not go blind.
Good.
Yeah. What are your memories of how many solar eclipses have there been in your life that you remember?
I have no idea. And I don't think I've ever looked at any because I, unlike you, was worried about my eyes. And since I have blue eyes, they're pretty sensitive as it is. So you have to like make a special box with tiny little pinholes in it. And
yeah,
I
you
just
have to project it onto cardboard, basically. Yeah.
Maybe I think I was too lazy to do that. I don't know.
I can see how ancient societies would have been scared by eclipses, especially solar ones, because it's like it gets dark during the day for a little while. It's kind of spooky.
Yeah. The spookiest thing I've ever experienced was being in Reykjavik, Iceland during the summer, and at 4 a.m, it's still light out.
Have you ever seen the movie Night on Earth?
No.
It's a really cool, weird, independent movie that takes place in that setting. The other end of that setting, though, in the middle of the night, being totally totally lit, or maybe it's during the day being totally dark, but it's one of those like kind of four barely intersecting parallel stories movies. And,
okay.
And I think Steve Buscemi might be in it. And I know that, who's the little pixie actress who got caught shoplifting?
Winona Ryder?
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure she's in it. It's an interesting movie.
Yeah, whenever you recommend movies, I write them down. I have like a list of, you know, Michael W. Dean movies.
Night on Earth is the name of the movie, and it does take place in the land of the eternal whatever. And tell me a little bit about Iceland. Is there like black metal playing everywhere?
Oh, I wish. I'm sure I could have found it, but I was only there for 3 days. But I will tell you, like in the town of Reykjavik, they have this really cool bar called the Lebowski Bar. And it's like a bowling alley and a bar. And it's got, you know, all the big Lebowski fixings and stuff. It's really cool. And then there's this really cool gay bar, too, that's painted all rainbow and has an interesting name, which I forget right now. But it's a really neat little town. Food is hard to find, and a lot of places close around 6.
You don't mean like food is hard to find, like everyone's starving. You mean like,
no, like restaurant food. We did go to the local grocery store, and I've got to tell you, it does smell like fish because they eat a lot of fish.
Yeah.
But the cool thing about Iceland is they don't have a lot of access to like processed sugar like we do. So they use beet sugar, which they process themselves there, and they put it in the Coke. And I don't drink a lot of soda, but I had to try one there, and it was delicious, and it's like half the calories.
Are you Icelandic?
No, but I would love to go live there because...
How'd you end up there?
It was the end leg of my 2-week European vacation extravaganza.
Wow. You'd love to go there. You'd love to go there or live there, you said?
I would love to live there because you can kind of just disappear. The people are so friendly. It's just beautiful. Everyone's really laid back. But flying there, I will tell you, I flew from Amsterdam to Iceland. And when I was leaving Iceland, I got the SSSS on my plane ticket. I don't know if you know about that.
That's the super, super scrub them down and search them seriously, man. Yeah.
Yeah, the super secret search or whatever.
Super secret service, the SS. Yeah.
I don't know, but whatever it is, it's imposed by the United States when you're flying back into the United States. And I remember I went up to the counter and I showed the lady my ticket and I said, "Where's the room?" And she goes, "What?" And I said, I know what's on my ticket. And she goes, "Oh, how did you know that?" And I was like, "Oh, we know these things." And she took me back to the room and they were all really cool and nice. And it almost seemed like they didn't want to be doing it. And they were like, "Oh, we'll swab your backpack and the bottom of your shoes and this and that." And they did it. And they're like, "Okay, you're good. Have a great day."
Well, that's something that I've been saying a lot lately, and it came out of a discussion about the TSA with Davi when he first got in trouble. And it's basically that the typical situation that is in a government-controlled environment or anything involving the government is generally two people doing something that neither of them want to be doing. And of course, there are like goons who love to mess with people, but... The average, you know, if you take all the interactions that the public has with people from the government, most of them are things neither person really wants to be doing.
Yeah, but there's reasons why they do it and, you know, money, family, that sort of thing. But when we left Prague,
Reasons why the employee of the government does it. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Just following orders and got to think about your family, which is basically what led everything the Nazis did. You know, there were a lot of sick soldiers who really enjoyed doing horrible things, but a lot of people said later, like, "I was just following orders," or "I just wanted to think of my family," or "I just had to feed my family," whatever, you know.
Well, apparently there were a lot of people who didn't even know what was going on.
That's true. I mean, the average German who was compliant and did not ruffle feathers did not know that what was going on, other than that there was a war going on. But, you know, probably thought, "Oh, those horrible British are bombing us. Aren't they evil?"
Yeah, exactly. But when we were leaving Prague, I do remember I took my shoes off and the guy was like, "Ha, ha, ha, you don't have to take your shoes off in Europe."
Although I'll say this, the Prague airport in 2004 is the first time I ever saw a soldier or cop, it's hard to tell which it was, with a machine gun in an airport.
Ah, okay.
I'm sure there were some before that in America. It was after 9/11, but you know, it was business as usual in the Prague airport by that point, and was not yet in American airports.
Okay, yeah. Prague is a very interesting place, though, I'll tell you that. The metro or the light rail still looks very Soviet. Everything is very Soviet there. It's really cool, though. I'd like to go back there, too.
I love Prague.
Yeah, I did, too.
Oh, yeah, I know you've been. Yeah. You sent me a picture with friend.
With Václav.
Yeah, who actually spent Christmas with DJ and I.
Yeah, yeah. He's a great dude. He showed us around, and my parents thought he was great, and it was really cool.
Yep. I'll tell you what's really Soviet about Prague. Every building is 5 stories tall. Did you notice that?
No, I thought I saw some. They have some
There's exceptions.
Buildings.
There's exceptions, yeah. But almost every building where people live is 5 stories tall, not shorter, not taller. Like, that's something that was imposed under communism.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they didn't leave communism until, like, what, 1981 it was?
I thought it was 69, but maybe. No, you could be right. You could be right. I know that there's a band in San Francisco called Life After Life that run Alternative Tentacles, and they were sort of friends of mine. And one of the guys, they'd been a band in Czechoslovakia before it was stopped being communist and became the Czech Republic. And they had been, like, beaten by the police for playing music.
And
their music wasn't even very political. I mean, it was kind of, it was very amorphous, like, everybody should be free, why can't, you know, it was kind of hippie, like, lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't, you know, destroy the government, it wasn't kill anybody, it wasn't anything radical sounding. It was just kind of like generalities wanting peace and equality. And the police, you know, they had to play secretly, like, quietly in basements.
Yeah, I think I did hear something about that. But now it's so free there. I've heard that it's one of the freest places in Europe.
Yeah, although when I was last there in 2005, you know, the people I was staying with, like, their friends had just all been, like, beaten up by the police at a rave for having a rave, you know, a peaceful rave.
Sheesh.
Yep. We'll be back. I'm Michael Dean After Dark with Nikki Darling and the Blood Moon. You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark. And yes, we're broadcasting this message into space. When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com. Yeah, we're on the air. Live radio. And I was talking to Davi last night on here, and I was talking about how this is kind of, you know, my ongoing thing with this is that this show is not only a fun show for me to do and hang out with different friends, it's also kind of the Liberty Journalism School, you know, the radio school.
Yeah.
And I said, it's like training wheels for Liberty or for Liberty Radio.
And you are a great teacher.
Thanks, man.
Definitely.
I teach by example. And, and Davi said, but we're on actual radio. So it's kind of like, he said, libertarians learn to ride their bikes with training wheels on the freeway. Yeah. And I just, I was so busy chatting with you about a certain airplane picture that cannot be named.
Yeah. Oh no.
I forgot to come back. Yeah. That was funny, man. That's all we'll say is that's funny. And if you're on the internet, you think it's funny too, probably, but we can't talk about it.
Nope.
Yeah. So, I have silver. I have 20 pieces of silver. 10 more, and I could sell out somebody. I'm not going to make that crass joke. But, well, you know, Joseph was sold out by his brother for 20 pieces of silver. Jesus was sold out for 30 pieces of silver. And 30 pieces of silver, this is kind of interesting. It wasn't a random amount, and it wasn't nothing. Like, by today's prices, you know, the silver pieces at the time were a half ounce. So at today's prices, that'd be about $300, which ain't much, but it was actually like 4 months' pay, you know, for a laborer at the time. So it was a good bit of money, but it was actually, symbolic, because what it was it was the price of a slave. Like, Jesus was sold to death for the price of a slave.
Mm.
So anyway, what were you going to say?
Oh, nothing. I don't know a lot about the Bible, and it was like a category on Jeopardy tonight, and I was like, derp.
Derp.
Yeah.
Derp.
I'm usually pretty good at Jeopardy, but...
Oh, yeah. DJ is, too. I think you two are going to really get along. I was just telling you what she said about the airplane photo, which was, I have... You got to stop laughing before I do it, or at least laugh away from the mic. DJ saw the airplane photo and said, I have one of these, which is what it looked like the lady was saying, so...
I'm gonna try not to.
You sounded like Big Gay Al on South Park there.
That's a great character.
This is like the cleanest conversation about the absolute most not radio friendly topic in the world.
Yeah,
I'm teaching you how to do radio, Nikki. That's how you do it.
Now, could you post a link? You couldn't post that link on the website.
I could, no. But I'm not gonna. Well,
yeah, okay, good idea.
No, it's an in-the-know thing. It's for us and, you know, a small group of 200 million of our dearest friends who have seen that picture.
Yeah.
I have one of these. And an airplane crashed into it. Yeah. Yeah. Big companies aren't really very good at social media somehow.
No, I think the person who saw it didn't realize that it was well, they didn't see it first.
They saw the airplane, maybe. Maybe they were looking, you know, you're multitasking, or they just searched, you know, the name of the airlines on Google. I don't know. Or it could have been someone trying to get fired. Who knows?
Yeah. Anywho.
Yeah, there are several hundred people in Cairo, Illinois, and Paducah, Kentucky, listening to the radio going, what are these people talking about, man? I mean, well, now someone probably have seen this picture, but...
Just Google.
Google airplane picture. I wish you could just Google, I have one of these, and it would show up. That was my wife's comment on it. Yeah, I'm looking forward to having you meet her. So we're going to Porkfest. You're going to Porkfest. Yeah.
Yes.
That's cool, man.
I'm very excited. It's the only thing I really have to look forward to this summer.
Aw.
That and lots of work.
Yeah. What are you doing for work? I mean, I know what you do for work, but our audience doesn't necessarily do what you do in every aspect of your work. Tell me a little bit about it.
I'm a photographer. I photograph weddings, engagements, pretty much anything.
Didn't you used to date Donald Rumsfeld?
No.
Did you take his picture?
I did have a photo shoot with him once. Yes, I worked the Navy. I've actually photographed a lot of politicians. I worked on Capitol Hill for the Hill newspaper at one time, right after 9/11. Yeah, it was an internship, and it made me realize that I didn't want to work for newspapers, especially in Washington, D.C.
Oh, yeah, because they're just, they're really just the voice piece of some agenda or another. Usually.
It's not even that. It's just the way I was treated. There's definitely, I'm not a feminist in any way, but there's definitely male photographers, and then you have a small minority of female photographers, and they're not treated very well by the males.
Yeah.
I have one of these. That'd be a great t-shirt.
It would. We'll be back. Yeah. All right. Here we go to the market.
Whee!
Worms.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and I'm speaking directly to you. Yes, you. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Uh-huh. This is Mr. Michael Dean on Michael Dean After Dark. We're talking to Nikki Darling.
Worms.
Worms. I have one of these. That's the name of this episode. Yeah.
I'm just going to make your wife a t-shirt that says that.
You should probably ask her if she'll wear it before you do, but she's getting really into what she's buying a whole new wardrobe for Porkfest because it's her I guess I can say it on the air. She's lost a bunch of weight. She looks really good, so she's buying clothes, and I'm proud of her.
Nice.
Yep.
Very nice.
Yep. Yeah. So I have one of these. So what do you think about all of the crankiness between libertarians lately? There seems to be a lot of infighting, and you're doing it wrong.
I think there's a lot of smugness, to be frank.
Yeah? Tell me.
It's like a battle of intelligence. It's like, who's better read? I just feel like I'm in school again, and it's ridiculous. And instead of being smug to somebody, you could just, you know, try to educate them in a kind way instead of making it seem like you're superior to them in the knowledge department.
Who in particular is doing this? Random people or rock star people or what?
I don't want to say any names. No, okay. There's definitely random people and the, what do they call them? The celebritarians?
Liberati.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not as many as
the Liberacis. Let's call them that.
Okay. All right.
Yeah,
well,
the
Liberacis. Then they might think that we're calling them, saying that they, never mind.
That they're gay?
Yeah.
Or that they're incredibly talented piano players who played really cheesy music and frittered away their talent with stupid music and stupid clothes.
Yeah, I'll go with the first one. But I've found actually more of the libertarians are nicer and more open to debate, especially with somebody who's not on their level, which I think is great because it's all about educating people. And I'm not up to date on everything. I haven't read all the books. But there are some people who are just very cranky to other people if they don't get it.
Oh, people who get it who are cranky to curious people who don't get it all. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you referring at all to the Jeffrey Tucker article? Is that play into this? Or are you talking about just random beats?
No, I'm just talking about randomness I observe on Facebook, and there are many times where I want to say something, but I hold back and I just move on with my day.
Yeah, I was talking to Antigone Darling today, your spiritual stepsister.
I love her.
Twin brother, sister of a different mother. She said that it's so easy to be a bad libertarian these days. Like she was talking about, you know, the same thing you're talking about, how someone's always criticizing somebody. Now, the really interesting thing is I don't see a lot of it personally because, first of all, and for some, I mean, I'm not like Jeffrey Tucker level rock star, but I do a radio show that's on 25 stations, and I, you know, I'm out there. Like I'm heard as much as any of these other mid-level guys, and I don't see any of the beef coming back to me. Maybe it's just I don't go on Facebook and I don't beef on Facebook. And if somebody sends me an email that's at all snippy, I generally say something really snippy back to them and then block them, which is kind of my way. And it's my personal property. My brain is. So I have the right to do that. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But there are people who don't want to block other people, which is understandable. There are people who are like more forgiving than that, which is fine. But I agree with you. I'll block people too, especially if they're just incredibly smug.
Well, part of it with me is, part of it is I'm totally willing to not let someone in my head if they mess with me, because life's too short and I have really, really strong boundaries. And the other part is just keeping my life intact with the amount of emails I get a day. I get about 200 actionable emails a day.
Wow.
I mean, I'm not including spam. I'm getting I'm including emails from people I know. And sometimes it's a conversation back and forth, 10 emails each from me to somebody I know. And then sometimes it's strangers. And then sometimes it's, you know, people I've talked to once a year ago. I got an email today from somebody that I met in San Francisco 20 years ago a couple times, and she's like, I have one of your songs in my head. I can't get it out of my head. I can't find it anywhere. Make me a CD, please. I'll buy it. And I'm like, I'll just email her the MP3 and said, have a good day. You know,
like
that's, but, you know, people like Stefan Molyneux, like he literally has a handler now, and all his, he pays a guy to manage his stuff, and all of his email, among other duties, all of the email coming to him goes to this guy, and the guy answers not as Stefan, but as himself, and anything that he thinks Stefan needs to see, he sends to him. And I would kind of love to have that, and I'm kind of almost at the point where I need it, but I can't afford it. So,
yeah.
I have to do it all myself. And part of that is just writing back, you know, like if someone asked me a bunch of questions, like today I wrote someone back, you're basically asking me to do a bunch of paid consulting work for free.
No,
you know?
No. Yeah. Don't do that. I mean, there's that whole argument of like internships and whether or not some people should work for free, but you are a seasoned professional. You should not be working for free.
Yeah. Well, I've had a lot of people intern for me in a lot of projects, and I generally end up firing them because it ends up being more trouble training them than it's worth of what they save me. That's been almost universally my experience. I mean, I'm the DIY guy. I know how to do a little bit of everything, you know, technically, like a little bit of videography, a little bit of photography, some writing, some radio, some everything that I would get someone else to do. I've learned to do, not necessarily because it's something I wanted to do, but because it's easier than getting someone else to do it.
Totally.
So, but with this show that we're doing, I kind of have interns in a way with you and the rest of the co-hosts on it, but it's not much of a hassle. I mean, I'm not going to get into the beef on it, but there's one person that's kind of raising my blood pressure, but it's actually a seasoned professional. You know, a lot of times one of my like real success stories here, like you're great and Lou's great, but you guys have talked on radio before. Like, Diana has never ever been on radio, and she's doing so well, man.
Yeah. I listened to the last podcast. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think part of that is because she has no expectations, you know, and she has an open mind. She's willing to take suggestion, which doesn't mean I want to boss people around and be the unquestioned God. It's more like, I know what I'm doing. I have an idea of where I'm going. And, you know, I'll take input from people, but it's like, I don't want to have a bunch of people saying, no, do your show differently. You know, I have my way of doing it. So,
of course. Yeah, it's your show.
Yeah. So back to arguing with, I got off on a tangent, but that's a good thing. We do this on the show because we always come back. But, you know, the thing of having people help out with different things, but getting back to the thing of the beefing in Liberty, I don't see a lot of it, man. I guess people can step away from it more than they think without sticking their head in the sand. Because I talk to thousands of people a month. I talk to hundreds of people a week, you know, and I don't hear any beef.
It takes place on Facebook mostly, and you're not there, so you don't see it. If I stepped away from Facebook, I'm sure I wouldn't see it either, but I would feel a major void of like the other conversations I have with people.
We should call it Beef Book.
Beef Book. That's great.
Yeah. You know, the thing I was talking with Antigone about today, she said something about the same thing you're talking about, you know, it's so easy to be like, do something and people say you're a bad libertarian these days. And I said, I think that's a good thing. Because 5 years ago, I said to her, you and I were trying to explain what libertarian is to people. Now we're fighting with those same people because they're trying to tell us we're doing it wrong. That means liberty is spreading, you know?
Yeah, but it's not just being a libertarian. I think it's this whole attitude of liberty, and it encompasses many different titles like voluntarism, anarchy, libertarian, hippie, that sort of thing. And I don't think that everyone should just be pigeonholed into one title and then expect to do it perfectly.
Well, I can't really put a label on myself, which is not to say I'm so cool and unique, but it's like, I can kind of answer to libertarian, anarcho-capitalist, or voluntarist, but I wouldn't use any one of those for myself. And I mean, really, it just boils down to like, leave me alone. That's kind of my politics.
Yeah, and that's individualism right there. I don't want a label either. I'm myself.
Yeah, and you know, I'm pretty largely inclusive too. Like, you know, I got an email from a guy today who's like describes himself as libertarian, but he has a flag pin. He's a, you know, patriot type, small government guy. And it's like the fact that he was that instead of just a, you know, we need to have the government do everything. Like, I was like, okay, he's kind of more on my side than most people. I'll help him out more than I would a random person writing me.
Yeah, my boyfriend and I were talking about that this weekend, whether or not we'd want to live next to liberals or the more like Tea Party type. And we both said if we had to have neighbors, we would probably rather live next door to the Gadsden flag flying people
I live next to those people, and I love it. Yeah. I left California to live in literally the most Republican, the reddest state in America, Wyoming. And these guys make better neighbors overall, man. They really do.
Yeah. And even though there are still some disagreements, especially about, you know, like immigration and stuff like that, it's a lot easier to have conversations with people like that.
Yeah. Because they hate the government. They don't get that they're still supporting the government by being a part of it, but they hate the government. Put it this way, they all talk the anarchist talk. They're all like, you know, I don't even like the word anarchist because I feel like post ANCAP. But I really feel like a lot of what they talk about is we got to get a smaller government. And I'm like, okay, let's take it further than that. And then they're like, no, that's too far. But, you know, why is that too far? It's like they all try, when they're running for office, they all try to outdo each other with how small government they are.
Yeah, you know, but small government is better than living next door to somebody who wants all of it.
Yeah, yeah, it really is. It really is. Because somebody who wants more government wants to be up in your business as a neighbor.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And I mean, I know my neighbors on a first name basis, but, and you know, if any of them like needed a ride to the hospital, I'd stop what I was doing. I'd stop this show to take one of my neighbors to the hospital. I would. That's you finish it without me.
Yeah, that's really cool of you.
Yeah, but I don't know them. I'm not up in their business.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know a lot of my neighbors either, but I do know that they're not like me.
Yeah.
I can tell you that.
Yeah. So the beef thing, I mean, I saw the same thing when I was a punk rocker in DC in the early 80s. It was like, and then before that, even in upstate New York, like people who try to beat me up for having a shaved head, 5 years later, those same people are arguing of I'm punker than now. It's okay. It means it's a good thing spreading.
Yeah.
You know, if they're fighting about who's the better libertarian, at least they're not saying, what's libertarian? We'll be back.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing. Buttons! Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
This is Michael Dean After Dark, and you're listening to the dulcet tones of the Blood Moon. Blood Moon.
I have one of these.
So you can call in to this show. You can Skype in to Kitty Feet 1, like the feet of a cat, KittyFeet 1, number 1. Or you can call it 1-855-660-4261. That's 1-855-660-4261. And someone was trying to call on Skype, but when I went to let them on, it said they were busy. So I guess they weren't patient enough to get on. They want to be on right now because they have their microphone and they say, I have one of these.
That's never going to get old.
Not tonight. So it sounds like your dogs are woofing. What's going on there?
Oh, that might have been me moving my chair. It's squeaky.
You said your dogs were freaking out, though, dreaming. Freaky Blood Moon dreams.
My dogs dream sometimes, and they bark with their mouth closed, and then, like, their lips flap, and then they fart a lot in their sleep, too.
Wow. That's really awesome and detailed, Nikki. You're welcome. This show is like part, you know, college level economics lecture and part like Beavis and Butthead. I love that about this.
Oh, they're animated.
So we were talking about libertarianism and how there's fussing and there's fighting. And it's like, come on, man. It's not that big of a deal, people. It means liberty is spreading. You know, it's a, here's another thing. Like, I've had young dudes who just, you know, like when I was first starting doing this show, they were not even stumping for Ron Paul. They were like stumping for, you know, real Republicans and Democrats and like statists. And now all of a sudden they've read a little Rothbard and they're like trying to knock me down a peg. And here's the thing, man. I'm going to be 50 in May. I want to do this until I drop, which my dad's 93. So, and he still, can call me up and hassle me. And he doesn't hassle me. He calls me up like he hears news really late and he calls me up and he's like, Michael, what's going on out there in Nevada? I hear the militias are coming to fight the federal government. And he's not calling like, that's horrible. He's like, that's so cool. What do you know about this? Which is pretty cool for a 93-year-old dad, you know? But he believes that, you know, he really believes that they're going to win. And the fact that the government stood down means they won. No, it means they're going to fight those people. They're going to fight that rancher in court for years and ruin him. That's my prediction. Yeah.
They just needed a coffee break. They had to go home for the day.
Yeah, they lost the battle, but they think they're going to win the war. So, yeah, I want to do this forever and, or, you know, until I'm old. But here's the thing, like, all the newly minted libertarians, I want them to try to put me out to pasture, but first I want to teach them all how to get good audio and how to do a good radio show, because if they're going to put me out to pasture, they better damn well have something worth replacing me with.
Yeah, well, the new thing is the Google Hangout show, which it's so annoying because no one has good mics when they do it. Well, some people do, but not everybody. It's just annoying.
Yeah. $60 mic, people. You can sound great. Go to michaeldean.com, michaelwdean.com, and click on the link of get the microphone that our co-host used. Nikki Darling's using it right now. $60 and a 50-cent foam filter on it.
Yep.
And, you know, a few minutes of adjusting the sound and you'll be great. Or far better than not using that and just using your, you know, gamer headset.
Yeah. Oh, the gamer's headsets. Ugh.
Yeah. And they cost more than $60 sometimes and don't sound nearly as good.
Yeah. They sound really bad.
Yeah. So that's what I think about the youngins. You know, I mean, the young versus old beef, too, kind of reminds me of rappers. You know, it's not always an East-West rap beef. There's like Soulja Boy, who was like 17, was beefing with Ice-T, who's like 50. And like Ice-T practically invented hip-hop, you know? And,
yeah.
But he said of Soulja Boy, he said, Soulja Boy single-handedly ruined hip-hop. And Soulja Boy went on YouTube with his boys sitting on his couch there, his little posse, and like yelled into a camera for like a half hour about Ice-T. It's really hilarious. They made fun of it on Boondocks. But we'll have more when we get back about face beef in Liberty.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark. Go to michaelwdean.com. That's michaelwdean.com.
Good evening, my fellow
worms. I know some things.
I'll be back with more later on.
I'm never satisfied.
This is Michael Dean After Dark.
The stato sperimentato.
I don't know
if I'm saying
it. The United States government presents
no vision.
Not having enough money.
The power was so great.
Estos por su parte consideran
to provide guidance to mankind.
Go to michaelwdean.com for more. That's michaelwdean.com. We'll be back for hour two after this trip to the market on Michael Dean After Dark.
Bye for now.
MeowBit is free software from the Freedom Fiends that allows you to effortlessly view .bit websites. MeowBit works on all browsers. .bit is a new type of web address that's not controlled by any government or corporation. And we'll show you how to register a .bit domain today using a few cents worth of Namecoin. If anyone ever shuts down your .com website, users will still be able to get to your site using your .bit address and our free software, MeowBit. Go to meowbit.com. That's MEOWBIT.com.
Ha ha ha.
Yes. Good evening, cool cats and kitty chicks. It's Michael Dean.
I have one of these.
And over there we got Nikki Darling. What do you have?
Worms.
You have worms? No, I have worms.
I have worms.
Boy, this really is the evening zoo crew, man. You know, the morning zoo crew is a concept in radio. It's a type of radio, and it's actually, I think, wasn't there a DC morning show called The Zoo Crew back in the 90s?
I don't know. There was Mike O'Mara and that crew, but I don't remember The Zoo Crew.
Yeah. There was some comedian did a thing about how he often has to go on those shows too when he's promoting on tour. And he said, like, he's like, you know the kind of show. It's like, there's one guy who's outrageous.
Yeah.
And then there's another guy who's kind of outrageous in a different way. And then there's a woman going,
yep.
Oh, a woman saying, oh, you guys.
Yeah. Opie and Anthony highlight those shows every October, and they call it Jocktober. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. Howard Stern invented it. I mean, that's Howard Stern's show. It was always one outrageous guy, some other outrageous guy, and then Robin Quivers going, oh, you guys. You know? Yeah. And, I have respect for him as a radio host. I have respect for Rush Limbaugh as a radio host, you know, in the same way that, like, as a musician, I have respect for, like, people that play really stupid kinds of music but do it really well and do it in a – oh, I can hear you vaping.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right. That's when you did the vaping show, did you, like, make sure you could hear the vaping?
Oh, it was a video show, so everyone could see us vaping.
Yeah. So you were talking about Google Hangouts and how all these young kids today with their podcasts don't really know what they're doing. Extrapolate on that.
Mm. Well, I mean,
as Larry King would say, tell me more. Expand on that.
I mean, not like I haven't been involved in some of those shows, but people will just get on to Google Hangouts and they'll be tapping their computer microphone. Can you hear me? And just moving around, and their microphone hits the side of their face. And
I was talking to someone today about someone else that's speaking at Porkfest, and you know the things that they were on. They were on a panel that they're going to be on a panel that some discussion that sounds to me like a pod beef about who's the more, you know, what's the better kind of libertarianism. And, you know, she was like, what's your thing on your speech on? And I'm like, I didn't even know the kinds of libertarianism she was talking about. Thin and thick libertarianism. I'm like, I missed that memo. I was too busy doing my shows. What? Do you know what that is?
No, I don't. It's just so every day there's a new term that comes out.
Yeah. I don't care. It's all, I'm friends with anyone who doesn't like the government. I'm even friends with, like, leftist anarcho-communists, and I hate communists. A friend of mine summed it up really well. There's a video of some ANCOMs in Portland who run a bagel shop and, you know, collectively owned bagel shop and refused to let a cop be served there.
Yeah, I heard about
that.
And
I was like, that's pretty bold. And my friend who's like us, my friend Jim Object – you ever seen him on any forums or anything?
No.
Okay, Jim Object said of that video, he said, I hate commies, but I hate cops more. Go, commie, go. And you know, it's pretty dangerous to like bash the police. And I don't bash them open all out, they're all bad. You know, I'm kinda like Eazy-E in NWA. He's like, you know, not all cops are bad, just like 92% of them.
Yeah, I do remember being in a Starbucks wearing a cop lock t-shirt and getting some really wild looks from people.
From cops or from citizens?
Just some citizens.
Civilians.
Yeah.
Yeah. Squares. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. What is cop lock and what does it mean? Tell real quick and then I'll go back to my story because that's how we do it here.
Cop lock is just an organization holding the police accountable. Their slogan is badges don't grant extra rights. And they just compile all the videos online of all the police mishaps and brutality and stuff like that. So go check out copblock.org. And a lot of different cities have their own chapters and they go cop blocking. They all get together and they go out and try to find I don't know, checkpoints or DUI stops, and they just film the police for accountability because most people don't ever think to film a stop.
Yeah. Hey, Nathan, are you there? Man, he keeps trying to call in, but something's wrong on his end, I think.
Uh-oh. So
I don't know what it is. Call in during the next break, Nathan, as soon as we go to break, and we'll try to get it working out. All right, so go on, Nikki.
I guess there's not anything else more to say about cop block. You got to go check it out for yourself. And if you want to go cop blocking, you've got to really have a thick skin, because there's definitely been some beefing between civilians with cameras and cops. And there's actually been some brutal violence, too. People have gotten beat up by cops.
Yeah. Yeah. Going back to the beefing thing, I never really finished the story about Soulja Boy. He was really funny in this video. They made fun of it in Boondocks, which is a great show. And there's one of the things that he says, you know, in his beef, his YouTube beef back to Ice-T is, how are you gonna do a song called F the Police and then 30 years later be playing a police on a show called Law and Order? And it's really funny. It's like, it's kind of a good point. And it's, you know, it's definitely the young buck lion trying to like fight the old lion to take his crown. And, but the thing that's really funny about it is F the Police was not Ice-T. It was Ice Cube in NWA. And first of all, if he didn't know that, he should know the history of hip hop. It's his genre and he's got, you know, he's a star in it. He should know what came before. But I think he's also kind of saying, I don't need to know what came before. I'm me. But the really funny thing is maybe he does know and he intentionally said the wrong thing as if to say, like, you're so irrelevant, I don't even remember what song you did back in the day.
Ooh, and that's a diss right there.
Yeah, it's a diss. And the actual song, the song that what he should have said was, how are you going to do a song called Cop Killer and then play a cop on a show called Law and Order? Because he did do a song called Cop Killer and it was not a rap song, it was a metal song. He was in a really bad metal band. He made really good rap, but he made really bad metal with his Body Count band.
Yeah, that was terrible.
I think that was a jobs program for his boys from back in the day. I really do. It was, because he said it was like the guys he came up with, and he used to play punk rock with them before he, you know, started doing rap. And it's like, I think he got big enough that he could just make whatever record he wanted. You know, he was... that record came out on Warner Brothers the same month that my band Bomb's record, Hate Fed Love, came out on Warner Brothers. And part of the reason we got dropped or not supported, and like basically they dropped us by not supporting us, Warner Brothers did, but they got bomb threats at Warner Brothers in Burbank because they had a song called Cop Killer and wouldn't pull it. And, you know, statists or cops, I don't know who it was, man, but somebody was calling up Warner. And like one time they called up and said, you know, there's a bomb on the back porch of this building at your offices. And they went back there and it was like, you know, they had the bomb squad come out and it was a bunch of newspapers, you know, taped up with duct tape in a box. But, you know, that's terrorism, literally. That's trying to terrorize people. And I just had the bad luck of being on that label with a record coming out that week of a band called Bomb. It was really bad timing.
Yeah.
So do you beef with your elders? Do you try to knock the crown off and take it?
No, not really. I mean, I do kind of have debates with my dad. And he's really dramatic. He's such a drama queen. So I don't know. It's hard to beef with him. So,
yeah, I don't beef with my family. I just ignore them. Don't call back.
One thing I was reading about earlier was this new mental disorder that kids are getting labeled with called ODD. Do you know what that is?
Oppositional Defiant Disorder.
Exactly. And I'm pretty sure that I was diagnosed with something similar growing up because I was that kid who would just question everything and argue and say no. And it just amazes me that that's a disorder.
Have you ever heard the joke video we made about ODD?
Is it like OPP?
No. Really? Oh. You haven't heard the Compliacin ad?
Oh, yeah, that one, yeah.
I think let's play that. It's pretty good. If I could do this without waking DJ up. It's DJ voicing it, and Nima and I wrote it. Let me play this real quick.
After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? You don't make waves, so why should they? Studies show that 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. ODD is a real problem in our society, according to the DSM, the big book that lets psychiatrists know who's mentally ill and who's not. ODD is also known as libertitis, or inflammation of the liberty. It's been a serious problem for almost 50 years. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. In severe cases, kids may be suspended from school and end up in jail for violating those all-important nanny laws. In extreme cases, they might even quote Ron Paul. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Compliacin reduces non-essential brain activity by 70%. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. This drug can even keep your kids off drugs. Unlike outdated methods such as punishment or uniforms, Compliacin works on the inside, taking choice completely out of the equation. Compliacin combines Thorazine, Ritalin, and 15 secret herbs and spices. It has all the effectiveness of a chemical straitjacket with none of the drooling. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin, you'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week, we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name. Compliacin. From Pilfer.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Everything. Yeah, that was the ad we made. I like that one.
Yeah, I remember. I think you guys had a shortened version of it, too.
Yeah, there's a 30-second version. Let me turn this down. I had to turn it up to do that. All right, we're going to the market.
Worms.
We'll be back with more on Michael Dean After Dark after this trip to the market.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Michael Dean After Dark. Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Michael Dean. Say my name. Heisen Dean. It's Michael Dean. After Dark, we're back. Nikki Darling and I have been rapping and yakking about all sorts of things, about liberty spreading, about liberty beef spreading, about Soulja Boy versus Ice-T. I was joking with Nima Vidati when we were about to do an interview with Boston Tea Party the other day, and we were like, what do you want to ask him about? And I was like, I don't know. I'm really fascinated about this beef with Soulja Boy and Ice-T. Let's ask Boston what he thinks about the rap beef between Soulja Boy and Ice-T. But we did not, and it was a very good interview because we did not. So we got a caller here, and I'm going to put him on in a second here. Nikki, did you get to go out and see the moon? I want to hear about that first.
No, it's overcast outside.
Really? It's really clear where I live, and it's definitely starting to wax or wane or whatever it is when it gets smaller. I think it's waning, and but I'm not waning, and I am on medication, and you know, in the tradition of all the great talk radio hosts, like Rush Limbaugh, and he got caught, probably all the rest of them. I'm not on narcotics, though. I have a really bad backache, and I have for a month, so they put me on steroids, which sounds really good and fun. But they also put me on muscle relaxants, which is probably why I sound kind of relaxed and like my mouth is really dry. I'm taking them as directed, but they're making me relax and I feel my back. They have like absolutely no psychological, like they don't get you high, but they make you really like kind of like stupid and sleepy, which probably makes for good radio because I'm usually too hyper and smart. Yeah. So we got a caller. What's up, Nathan?
I think Jack Spirko has something for his shoulder where he uses a turmeric supplement. I don't know if that would help with what you have, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't trust any talk show host of what they use for anything medical because they're probably getting paid to endorse it. Did you know people get paid to endorse things?
Well, I knew something. I remember reading a story about Fox News doing like a Taco Bell segment where, you know that show, The Five? They basically just
talked about
Taco Bell the whole segment.
And I don't know that, but I know the show The Five. It's like three Republican idiots, one Democrat idiot, and Greg Gutfeld, who's kind of funny occasionally.
And kind of a libertarian.
Kind of.
Well, I thought that's what you meant by ad.
Well, he's had Dave Brocky, who recently passed. He's had Dave Brocky from GWAR on in full GWAR costume and been kind to him and interviewed him. That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
No, I don't mean segments where they do a whole thing on it. I mean, like, you know, endorsements. Like, people talk about things, and I don't know. This is probably too much inside baseball here, so I'm not going to go into it. But I appreciate you, your kindness, and I really appreciate you offering a solution. There are like 20 people a day offering me 20 different solutions that would probably, some of them would probably help. Some of them would probably do nothing, and some of them would probably kill me. I'm trying this solution, and so far for 4 hours, it's actually the only thing that's given me relief in a month of near constant pain, which is not constant excruciating pain. It's constant, the level of like, I know I'm in pain, and it makes it hard to do things. And I do apologize. I've been really cranky with a lot of my friends lately, but you know, sometimes things poke at you. But overall, yeah, I'm okay, and thanks for the input. But what do you want to know about tonight, Nathan?
We could do Nikki's topic first, or I could do my topic. Which do you want?
What's Nikki's topic? Nikki, what's your topic? Come on, it's radio. Live radio. Let's go here.
I don't know. I thought he was going to say it.
Well, then, Nathan, what are you talking about, man? What are you talking about?
Well, I was curious about Nikki made some allusions to how people in D.C. behave and how it is to be a libertarian in D.C. And I assume it's not like passes Harry Reid in the hallway every day. So I'm kind of curious about what that is.
It's awful to be a liberty-minded person in the
belly of
Mordor.
The beast. Yeah,
exactly.
Give us an example.
Well, you have your apathetic people who just want to like watch sports and eat and hang out, and then you have your people who are like hardcore political. And sometimes I just I don't want to hear them.
I really feel like a lot of what goes on in D.C. is beyond parties, and I don't really know this from anything personal from when I lived there, but you know, probably from reading the newspaper and seeing what people do. I think there are a lot of people in DC who have a lot of positions of power and money and influence who don't care whether it's a Democrat or Republican they're dealing with. They absolutely don't. Like, the only people that get that there's no difference between left and right are libertarians, anarchists, and lobbyists, you know. I really think I think lobbyists, who are, you know, a stinky species, but they don't care. They don't have any political affiliation. They're like, who can get the thing done for me and, you know, favor my guy and crush the other guy. We're going to keep you on, Nathan. We'll be back after this trip to the market.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark. This is what radio sounds like now.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Hello, kitty cats,
groovy gals, groovy guys, humans of all shapes and sizes, and the waning moon that's going to eat itself in about an hour. And this is Mr. Michael Dean, and I'm talking to Nikki Darling tonight. And, you know, I do a lot of teaching hospital kind of stuff is what I call it, like behind the scenes. You know, here's what it takes to do a radio show. What I was doing in the break, other than talking with Nikki and the guy that's on the phone, called Nathan, I also was, you know, doing like the kind of stuff you do to run a radio show that has nothing to do with being on radio itself. Like, I'm sending an email to our network for their newsletter. They like to have us send things of if you've done anything interesting or interviewed anyone interesting. You know, I sent them like, okay, we interviewed author Boston Tea Party, Kenneth Royce. Royce rarely does interviews and did a great one with The Fiends. You can listen here. So, you know, little news items and things like that. And that's why my back hurts all the time because I'm always doing things like that, I think.
You're always working.
Yeah, you know, a way that's really summed up, and we're talking about DC, is many years ago, I asked Ian MacKay from the band Fugazi and Minor Threat, you know, do you, what's it like to make a living at music? And, you know, his answer was like, I don't make a living at music. I make a living, but I haven't played any music today. And it's, you know, I've been up for 12 hours and I've sent emails and I've made phone calls and I've sent faxes and I've driven to the post office and I've driven to UPS and stood in line and gone to the bank and, I haven't played any music, and that's most of my days, you know. So you know that too, Nikki. Your job is photographer, and what percentage of your job is actually taking pictures?
Just weekends.
Yeah, like give me a percent of the amount of hours you work on a paid job. How many hours of it? What percentage of it is snapping photos, and what percent of it is everything else?
20% snapping photos and 80% work at home on the computer.
There you go. All right. So, Nathan, you got questions?
Sorry. I'm just, my mind is blown by that 80-20 number.
That's actually, she's spending more time doing the art than doing the stuff to support the art than I am. I would say, well, let's see. I'm on the radio four nights a week doing this show, and that's 8 hours, and then four more hours on The Fiends. So, 12 hours a week. I probably spend 80 to 100 hours a week working. Is that a better percentage or worse? I don't know.
That's a lot of time. I mean, I generally only sit in front of the computer. I try to just do like 9 to 5 as if I had a 9 to 5 job, because if I don't move, I'm going to get obese.
Yeah. Yeah.
So who brought up the thick versus thin thing? And was that a Facebook thing?
I think it's going to be, no, it's going to be a panel at Porkfest.
Oh,
do you
okay.
know what it means? That, do you know what it means, thick and thin libertarianism? I don't think it's body yeah. weight, is it?
No, it's not body weight. Well, maybe I can define it by what it's not. Walter Blocks, he has this big thing where he kind of talks about plumb line libertarianism, where it's just you know, it's just the idea of non-aggression and not hurting people. And if it's peaceful, you know, that's the focus. And any extraneous ideas, you know, don't matter. Whereas thick libertarianism, I guess I like to explain it with an example like Ayn Rand. I'm kind of the opposite of Ayn Rand, but both of us would be thick libertarians, the way I use the term. The idea is that there are other social and cultural things you have to commit to outside of the non-aggression principle, but not necessarily opposed to it. So Rand had this big theory about art and ethics and, you know, blah-de-blah. Blah,
yeah.
If you didn't subscribe to that, then she didn't want to be around you. So that, it's not quite like that, but it's similar.
Yeah. People always have the thing on top of the, I really feel like the only important thing is the absolute consistency. I feel like if someone is against the non-aggression principle, rejects the state, you know, kind of like, do you reject Satan? You know, like when you're joining the church, do you reject Satan and all his minions? Do you reject the state and all of its minions? If you say yes to that and really believe it, you can be in the club that I, the big super group that I call libertarianism or ANCAP or whatever, voluntarism. But I think there's also the don't be a creep principle, which is almost as important, but it's less important because, you know, if you violate the non-aggression principle, especially if you're doing it by proxy through the government, you basically want me in a cage or dead. And I don't like that. So I'm not with that. But if you really don't believe in that, if you're really against that, but you're really abrasive to people, I'm really abrasive to people. I try not to be. And I'm like, this, having a backache is maybe abrasive to people. But, you know, if you're abrasive to people, I don't have to talk to you. So it's really not my problem. And I guess you can still be in that big club. I don't have a problem with it.
Well, let me give an example to maybe make it clear. So the non-aggression principle doesn't say anything about collectivism or like hierarchy or, you know, being a cog in a machine, you know, anything like that. But a lot of libertarians tend to be the rugged individualist, you know, bootstraps kind of people.
No, they don't. They sound like that on Facebook.
But see, there's nothing logically about the non-aggression principle which requires that you reject collectivism. But
no.
the thick libertarian argument is, but if we have to argue against collectivism because that will help people actually understand what the non-aggression principle means. Like, you know, if you say to someone that taxes are theft and they say, no, but we all voted for it, it's democracy, that collectivism is keeping them from seeing the application of the NAP. So that would be application thickness.
Yeah, there's a saying in theological circles that's been around for a couple hundred years. It's called arguing about how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. And apparently this is something that some theologians actually did. Maybe it was 400 years ago. And it's come to be a phrase for people who argue about the minutiae. And really, I said 5 or 6 years ago that all libertarians agree 99.9%, and they spend most of their time screaming at each other about the other tenth of a percent.
Yeah, and I could kind of see that.
I think it's really counterproductive overall for me to join in on it, but I don't really think it's counterproductive in general because, you know, there's a fine line between discussion, debate, and screaming at each other, and it's hard to say when one ends and the other begins. And I really think that without discussing about what this is and what it means, I really don't think you expand and go into the future with it. You know, it's part of the process. Yeah. It's also, like I said earlier in the show, I think it's actually a good thing about liberty that there's enough people arguing about what defines a good libertarian. I think that's a sign of growth, you know, because like literally 5 years ago, I was trying to explain to people what libertarianism is. And now some of those same people are like telling me I'm not the right kind of libertarian, and kudos to them. Well, you know,
you could say that Ron Paul was trying to explain it on whatever that talk show was in the 80s.
Yeah, man. And people were screaming at him and wanted to kill him, literally. Yeah, that was the Maury Povich show. No, it wasn't Maury.
Oh, that's,
it was Morton Downey Jr., who kind of invented one of the founding fathers of confrontational talk radio. Like, he was doing it on TV like 30 years ago. And there were people before that, but there were few and far between.
Well, remember what we were talking about earlier about the guys with the license plates?
Yeah, yeah. Tell that story.
So two guys in New Hampshire have license plates. One says Bitcoin and one says Agorist. And there was, you know, kind of a little bit of an argument on Facebook today about, you know, whether or not they're really libertarians because they're using a piece of state equipment to try to get a message across, I guess you could say. And I thought the person that was, talking in the argument, she was really smug. And I kind of pointed that out. And I wish now that I hadn't even said anything. But yeah, I called her smug. And I said, you know, you don't need to be smug to gain hearts and minds. And
I don't argue hard with anyone who is a libertarian. And if someone is not a libertarian and comes to me with questions like, what about the roads? I'll answer them. I'll give them a few minutes of my time. And if they get it and go, well, I can see that, but what about defense? You know, like if they're interested in learning, I'll give them some time. But also I generally just end up directing them to, well, you know, I've done 337 radio shows on this topic. You could go search on our site and find them instead of having me have to tell them again. Or I send them to Stefan Molyneux or Bad Quaker or, you know, Free Talk Live. Yeah. There's a bunch of stuff out there. I don't have to be like Jesus, first century Christianity, going across the desert to each town and telling each person, you know?
Yeah.
It's out there.
Do you ever tell them, let me Google that for you?
I have. I've said Google is your friend. But if someone really defends the state like they're defending their mother, I don't have time for them because I think they're a different species than me and they're never going to get it and they want me dead anyway. So,
yeah. Well, Nathan, what do you think about using license plates to spread the message of liberty?
I think that's great. You know, if you got a good bumper sticker or a good license plate, then go for it.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of sounds like the criticism from, I don't know, I guess I imagine some old nanny person saying, if you drive on the road, that means you agree to it.
There you go.
That was exactly the argument. And it was literally, coming from a 22-year-old girl or something.
You know, the criticism of it was coming from her?
Yes.
Yeah. I have no problem with that. I think I have no moral problem with that. And you nailed it, Nathan. It really does. It's the libertarian version of you're not as pure as me if you blah blah blah.
Exactly.
But here's the thing. I'll bet this didn't come up at all. I have a tactical reason why I wouldn't have that license plate. I don't want to stand out when I'm driving.
Exactly. I agree with that,
you know, especially if you're an activist and like you get into a beef with the cops. They're going to be like, okay, look for the license plate that says Bitcoin. And every time they'll see it, they'll watch you really closely.
Yeah.
Want to mess with you.
The guy in question, though, has no problem having beefs with the cops, which is great because there needs to be people out there to film all this stuff.
Who is it?
But his name is Robert Mathias. He's the Rebel
Love
volunteer.
Show?
Yeah, Rebel Love Show. Yes, thank you. I almost forgot his name.
Well, good for him.
But, but in the argument, though, he kept asking her over and over, do you have a registered car? And she wouldn't answer.
Yeah, that's really dumb beefs that I would not indulge in. I would not.
Yeah.
You know, and I have radio shows too, so I would just go beef at them on my radio show and then they could go tweet to their five friends about it and haha. I've built my life in such a way that I have a daily audience of, you know, between 50 and 100,000 people. So I built that, man.
It's less like angels on the head of a pin and more like buckyballs on the head of a nanotube.
There you go, man. Buckyballs on the head of a nanotube. We'll be back on Michael Dean After Dark.
This radio show is called Michael Dean After Dark. Go to michaelwdean.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
This is Michael Dean After Dark. I just came in from looking at the moon. It's almost gone. It's pretty cool. And you know, Keith Moon, the drummer in The Who, who died a spectacular death and led a pretty spectacular life, had a great quote, which was, people remember your entrances and exits and don't remember much of in between. And I love that. And I've always felt that about a lot of things. I mean, it's kind of a cop out too, because it's not, it's like, it kind of encourages you not to have a good second act, which is the bulk of any story. But it's really true that good exits are important. And Nathan just really, during the break, actually, he told us this. He's a good Liberty Radio host in training, because he gets it. He said this really pithy thing. I was talking about how all the libertarians are like theologians arguing about how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. That's a lot of what these beefs in Liberty sound like to me. And he said, no, it's more like how many Bucky balls can you put on the head of a nanotube, which is a really smart physics joke and a very modernistic physics joke. And then I asked him during the break, you know, I was like, that was great. That was what we ended that segment with. And then I said, so do you want to come back for the last segment? He's like, no, man, I liked what I said. I want to go out with that. And I'm like, man, right on. A for effort. He gets an A in tonight's Michael Dean Liberty Radio class for sure. Yeah, man. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. So you know what buckyballs are, Nikki?
Yeah, I bought some for my boyfriend for Christmas.
You can actually buy them, huh? What do they look like? Well, describe what they are and then say what they look like.
They're not the actual buckyballs. It's another company.
Models.
It's called Zen Magnets.
Yeah.
It's a company and they take Bitcoin. So they're just little tiny magnets and it's hypnotizing to play with them and you just do all kinds of different things with them.
Are these actual buckyballs or are these models of buckyballs that are magnets?
I guess they're models of buckyballs.
Buckyballs are carbon nanotubes synthesized into malleable materials. I may be getting that wrong, but basically they're named after Buckminster Fuller, who came up with the idea or popularized the idea of geodistic domes, and was a futurist and a pretty cool guy. And was one of the, he actually said something about, you know, all politics ends up with someone pointing a gun at you. He said that in like 1945, you know, during World War II, before many of our parents were born, not before my dad was born, but, so they're basically, they are a new way of making carbon into ultralight, ultra malleable materials. And, you know, there's talk about how you could revolutionize many industries, you know, from transportation to building houses to all sorts of things. They're basically, you can make things that are lighter and stronger than steel and more malleable and more, easier to drill and form. And they're pretty expensive to make right now. That's the only thing holding it back. And probably the government's holding it back in some way. But that's pretty funny, man. How many buckyballs can you put on the head of a nanotube?
I thought they were rare earth magnets.
Buckyballs?
Yeah.
No, man. They're a little tiny carbon. Well, let's look it up.
Let's Google that.
It is a spherical molecule with the formula C60. So it's a carbon, with 60 carbon. It has a cage-like fused ring structure, a truncated icosahedron, which resembles a soccer ball made of 20 hexagons and 12 pentagons. That's why they're named after Bucky, because they're basically micro versions of geodistic domes. Yeah, with a carbon atom at each end and a vertex and a polygon along each edge. Yeah. First generated in 1985. History, synthesis, molecules, applications. Here, why don't you read, I'll pigeon you the applications part. We're out.
Oh.
You're going to have to come back for the physics lesson. We spent too much time on the economics lessons tonight. So did you have a good time, Nikki?
I did. Thank you for having me.
I have one of these. Yeah. We'll be back. When are you on again?
I don't know.
All right.
I'm not sure. Next week.
Next week. Yeah. You can go to michaelwdean.com and find out. Say worms.
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 This has been Michael Dean After Dark. I hope we've helped calm the hamster in your brain and left you in a better place than where we found you. We'll be here 5 nights a week, same time and channel. In the meantime, go to michaelwdean.com for more. That's michaelwdean.com. Thank you and have a wonderful evening. good night.